Blog Talk Radio.
There's not a word or a thought that comes into our mind
God has not seen or understood first. Very, very powerful pictures of what the Word of God presents for us. I'm going to be reading this morning from Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of the Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of the Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. For those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. The Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore tell him I am making a covenant of peace," that is, covenant of shalom, barit, shalom, "with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. The name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of a Simeonite family. And the name of the Midianite woman who was put to death was Cozbi, daughter of Zur, a tribal chief of a Midianite family." The Lord said to Moses, "Treat the Midianites as enemies and kill them, because they treated you as enemies when they deceived you in the affair of Peor. And their sister Cozbi, the daughter of a Midianite leader, the woman who was killed when the plague came as a result of Peor." This chapter comes after, of course, chapters 4, which has to do particularly beginning in verse in chapter 22, chapters 22 through 24 has to do with Balaam. Balak had summoned Balaam to find a way to curse the people of God. And Balaam tried as he would, or as he might, to find grounds to curse the people of God, and he could not. When Balaam had left to go off to curse the people of God, he was confronted by the divine warrior. And we have the account of Balaam seeking to undermined the people of God through a curse. The curse is the very opposite of a blessing, whereas a blessing means to bow the knee, a barak. A blessing means to bow the knee. Blessing is otherwise, or a blessing means to wish prosperity. Blessing in the Old Testament is a holistic term. To wish the individual well within the entire sphere of his life. Cursing, on the other hand, calls for a reversal of circumstances, as it were, a reversal of one's situation or fortune. And we see this in the book of Job, a reversal of fortune in his life. But Balaam did not succeed. And so in chapter 23, we read in verse 21, no misfortune. Well, I'll begin with verse 20. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. And I love this part. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, or Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lion. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest till he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victim. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. Balaam answered, did I not tell you I must do whatever the Lord says? This farce continued until Balak was frustrated at the attempt of Balaam to undermine the people of God. And because Balaam had not been successful in this attempt, then the enemy tried another more insidious temptation, another and more subversive way to attack and to seek the ruination of the people of God. And so this brings us to chapter 25 of Numbers, and we read in verse 1, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. Now, Shittim was an encampment between the conquest of the Transjordanic region and the crossing of the Jordan River into Canaan. And so I want you to really get an idea of the staging here, what is going on. the people can go in and they can make ready to enter into the promised land. And here is this very frightening situation that has come to pass. And so, and notice, the focus is the men, and we read that they began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women. Now, Moab, or the name Moabite, means a progeny of a father. And one has to go to Genesis chapter 19 in order to get the background information for this verse. And it has to do, of course, with Lot and his daughters. So in chapter 19 of Genesis, we have the seduction of a father through his daughters who use alcohol in order, well, wine, we read, not alcohol, but wine to seduce their father for sex or to engage in sexual immorality. Genesis 19:30. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around to lie with us, as is the custom over all the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." Well, that night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Amorites of today. Now, the name Ammonite means son of my incest, son of my relative, or incest. And so this name has a very, the Moabite name has a very brutal and heinous background. And so when we turn back to Numbers 25, I just want you to see that here the name Moabite means progeny of a father. So we have this background of incest, this incestuous background. With regard to the Moabites. And so it is interesting to me that the Israelite men, of course, they were invited to a sex party. They did not refuse to go. And in verse 3, we read, "So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. And the Lord's anger burned against them." Now, I understand that in the English, a lot does not come across about what is going on here. So we're going to take a deeper look into this action on the part of the Israelite men and why God was so very upset. You remember in Exodus, the people were given the law by God. They were given the Torah, and they in Exodus 20, they swore to keep. They took an oath that they would keep the law, that they would not walk in violation of God's law. This is in Exodus 20. And so we see in Numbers chapter 25, verse 3, "So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, joined in the Hebrew is samad, which means to bind or to fasten. And so that is in what we call the Nifil stem. And so, which tells us that this was a passive action on the part of the Israelite men. And interestingly, I looked up this word joined in Hifil, which is the causative, which is causative in the Hebrew, and it means to frame deceit. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Now, Baal means Lord or Master. Baal was the god of storms and fertility during this time. Peor meant in our text in verse 3 means opening, and is a reference to the female sexual anatomy. And so the Israelite men are in violation of illegal and immoral conduct. So they break the Ten Commandments as given, they break the command men of God has given in Exodus chapter 20. They are in compromise with sin. Now, it is interesting to note that what Balaam could not do with curses, he could accomplish through seducing the men and deceiving them into sinful conduct. And so their conduct has scandalous consequences. And what we are going to look at now, what we're looking at is the aftermath of seduction, the arrogance that takes place. God was glowing with anger against his people. And we read that in chapter 4, God says to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. Verse 5, so Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of the Peor, that is the Lord or Master of the opening. Please get this. And what this type of sin has historically wrought in Western church history. The sin of sexual immorality, or porneia in the Greek. Porneia refers to all kinds of illegal sexual conduct. I know it is commonplace today for people to want to be or to relegate humanity to the level of bestiality or beast-like behavior, but and to believe that all of these relationships that go on are without consequence, but that is not true. Research bears out the grievous consequences of such behavior. This behavior does create a sphere of action that creates destiny. These are not words that are commonplace in Western culture. Most of this behavior may be given a clinical facade so as to not to look deeper. We go, well, okay, then if we can assign it a particular clinical facade and an algorithmic approach to how to deal with it, and then we can address it chemically so as to manage for symptom management, then everything will be okay. And so we live in a chemocracy. And in a chemocracy, one does not have to address in depth or great detail the consequences of one's actions or behavior. But beyond the chemocracy, there is a theocracy in which there is Almighty God. And there is accountability above the chemocracy. God, through His Word, wants the cure of souls, not merely the management of symptoms. And so our culture is now going to turn around until we get back truthfully and realistically to the Word of God and begin listening to what God has to say about the human condition. And instead of trying to make apology for what the Bible says and states and what goes on in the human condition, apologetic. Why are we being apologetic, and to whom and for what purpose? Persons are not getting better. Persons are merely being managed in the chemocracy. In a recent meeting that I attended in my area, an individual spoke up and said that, you know, many of the persons who are coming in for help these days to the various agencies seeking help are doing so for depression. Well, we don't really know. No one has a real understanding as to where depression or how depression originates, but we see the symptoms of depression. And persons need that a genuine encounter with God. That has to be brought back to the foreground when we talk about and we address the human condition and as to how to help persons realistically and in depth. Unless a finite point has an infinite reference point, it is meaningless and absurd. People understand this, that life needs meaning. And when persons do not have meaning, when persons have been made ahistorical, that is cut off from the past and the future, and we are told that to be within the present is compelling enough, then that's all one should seek. Just look at people around you. Are people satisfied? Are people happy? What is going on in our culture today? I think we really need to get back to the Word of God. I know that we are awash in technology and actually technology, but how long can we bear being distracted from our true needs and what we require to have lives that are rich and whole? Well, the Word of God promises that God will deliver this to us. We must go to Him, and we must talk to God about what has been going on in our lives. We must confess our sin. We must confess our need for the Jesus as our Savior. And guess what? God will bless you, give you a brand new life. God will lift you up. God will set you free. And no longer do you have to be a citizen of the chemocracy. One can become a citizen of God's kingdom. That is why I bring these shows to you today. I want you to know that there is real hope in Christ. There is real hope. That there is an authentic life that's available to you, exclusively to you, if you come to God and confess your need and your desire for in your life. Dr. Josiah Rich, I'll meet with you next time on Pneumatic Health. Have a wonderful day.